streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, live in Los Angeles, hour two on a Monday. It's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Jason McIntyre here, Jimmy Johnson in 5 minutes, the Hall of Fame coach. So many things to talk about with Jimmy. The Dolphins, he lives down in Key West. The Harbaugh situation, he knows it better than anybody out there, any broadcaster. He had great college jobs, great NFL jobs. What to do with Jimmy Garoppolo? Do you give Baker Mayfield a shot? So many things for Jimmy to talk about today. I'll tell you what. USA's out of the World Cup. You and I both really into it. Heck of a showing by United States men's national team. 4 years from now, it's in America.
Yeah, North America.
And all our best players are 27 and 28, not 23.
Can I call my shot and say we're going to the semifinals?
Next World Cup.
Yeah, 2026. The U.S. will have a monster showing.
All right. Well, we call it Colin Right, Colin Wrong. I'm plenty of both, and on Monday, here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Blazing 5, another winning week. We've had a good year. I took the Lions over the Jags, the Niners over the Dolphins, and the Raiders to beat the Chargers. I apologize about the Titans. I don't know what happened. I love Mike Vrabel, but they laid an absolute egg. 3-2 on the week, though. Feel pretty good about it.
Where Colin was wrong.
I have defended Jimmy Garoppolo, and even with his health issues, I generally argue he's usually healthy. But some guys aren't built to play this game for 15 years emotionally. Some guys aren't built to play it physically. And Garoppolo continues to be a liability physically. Broken ankle, out for the year, and once again it puts a great roster, a very good young GM, an excellent head coach in a bind. Garoppolo, Jimmy G's career, it feels like, is pretty much done.
Where Colin was right.
I never, ever bailed on the Bengals and Joe Burrow when they struggled early. I said, give them time to develop a run game. This team is special. They're excellent situationally. They were winning until yesterday without Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon. I like this team a lot. They are good in the red zone. They're good on third down. Burrow's just special. I mean, I thought he was going to be Tony Romo out of college, and I think Tony Romo is excellent, but a lot of people bailed on the Bengals early. We did not.
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought Alabama deserved to get in over Ohio State. Two narrow losses in the SEC. I'm not bothered by it. I think the Buckeyes will actually play Georgia real close. And it's frankly a more interesting game. I've seen Bama play Georgia a lot of times. But I think I did believe that Bama had a better argument. Too close at the buzzer. Losses against excellent teams in the best conference. But I was wrong.
Where Colin was right.
Josh McDaniels. You can keep criticizing the Raiders coach, but there's two things I love about him and why I won't bail on him. He has developed a run game without a great O-line, and he is getting the ball to the right people. That's good coaching. I can see his fingerprints all over this offense. They play hard. If they lose, they lose close. But he is developing a run game, and outside of the left tackle, they don't have a very good offensive line. This team has something. Brandon Staley and the Chargers, I can't see the coaching. He's a defensive coach. They can't stop the run. They don't create turnovers. They're not good situationally. If I can see your fingerprints as a coach on your team, you're doing something right. I like Josh McDaniel. And for the first time in a decade, I really like the fight of these Raiders.
Where Colin was wrong.
I defended Chris Ballard, the GM of the Colts, for years, but boy, they are a mess. Some of it is an impulsive owner. Some of it is Andrew Luck retiring. But they're not good at the positions you have to be in 22. Left tackle, wide receiver, star corner, consistent edge rush. They have a good interior O-line, some good linebackers. But they are right now a reeling mess, and I was wrong.
Where Colin was right.
The United States men's national team was exactly what we thought they were. We said if they lose, everybody will blame Greg Berhalter, but they're just too young to win games in the knockout stage, and they were eventually dominated and toyed with by the Netherlands. But we thought they would get out of the group stage. Listen, if you look at the teams that generally do well, it's veteran players who have been playing in great European leagues. In 4 years, our best players are Tyler Adams, our Christian Pulisics. They're like 27, 28-year-old kids. Now, we're puppies. We were overwhelmed. But we were better than many thought. We're all blaming Berhalter. Here was Tyler Adams after the exit.
We could show that we can hang with some of the best teams in the world, some of the best players in the world, and that's a lot of progress for U.S. soccer. We're moving in the right direction for sure, but we need to keep pushing because we're not there yet, but we're close.
Where Colin was wrong.
Anthony Davis and the Lakers are creeping toward 500. I don't know how. He's been a monster. They played their best game of the year against Milwaukee Friday, and AD had 55 last night against the Wizards. I did think he would have a great season because he was criticized all offseason. They don't have a lot of shooters, don't have enough wing defenders, but Anthony Davis is playing out of his mind. Darvin Ham has got these guys hustling on the defensive end. They're playing some really nice defense, and they are creeping toward 500. I thought the Milwaukee game would unveil their weaknesses. It actually showed their strength.
Where Colin was right.
Finally, it's official. College football announced last week they were going to a 12-team playoff. I had predicted before the season they would announce it at some time very soon. Why? The same reason baseball expanded their playoffs. The same reason the NFL expanded their playoffs. There's just too much network television money in playoff appearances and playoff formats. College football will be better served. Some rivalries at the end of the year may not feel as special, but when Auburn and Alabama play, you'll watch. I'll watch. Everybody will still watch. Colin right, Colin wrong on a Monday. And with that, the Hall of Famer Jimmy Johnson, Fox Sports analyst for years, is joining us, part of the Fox NFL Sunday crew. So let's start with the Niner thing. It's really interesting. Quarterback has never been more valuable in this league. They're the soul, the heart of a football team, the coach and the quarterback. Brock Purdy can probably win your division. He's been in the system, Jimmy, for a while. He can probably, you know, he's been here all camp. He could probably win a home playoff game against the Giants. But boy, I don't see him going to a Philadelphia, right? What would you do? Would you sniff a Baker Mayfield? Would you give him a workout? What would you do?
Yeah, I would take a look at Baker, depending on the contract, depending on the commitment. There may be a couple of other teams interested in Baker Mayfield. But I was impressed with Purdy. Now, that was just a restricted showing.
Yeah.
But I thought he did an excellent job. And with that defense for the 49ers, you know, they're going to have a shot against anybody as long as the quarterback doesn't turn it over and have negative plays.
Yeah, I saw Purdy play in the preseason. I said he's a little Taylor Heineke. He's a little bit of a gamer. You know, it's interesting, Jimmy. They never asked Garoppolo to make dangerous throws. They didn't ask a lot from Garoppolo. Could I not argue?
Right.
Purdy is a more mobile Garoppolo, maybe?
He may be, you know, and time will tell. I know we watched Purdy, you know, when he was at Iowa State, he was a scrapper, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't ask him to do a whole lot up there, but, you know, they loved him up there.
So when I watched Miami, I felt, as I watched it, that Tua, he could sense the pass rush. He is a smaller athlete.
Right.
He's had injuries. He didn't play with a lot of swagger. You know, you start falling behind with that pass rush, Jimmy. You just wrote a book, Swagger. You know Miami
right.
Well. What was your interpretation of the afternoon for McDaniel and Tua and the like?
I think considering, you know, they didn't have their offensive tackles in there, Tua knew that. He was getting rid of the football just as quick as he could, and
yeah.
He was throwing high. Normally, he is a very accurate passer. He got a good touch on the ball, but he was not accurate yesterday, and that hurt him. But they also show that they're an explosive team. You know, if you give him protection with those receivers, they can explode and they can score in a hurry.
So, I said pretty much since, you know, you have left Dallas, you and Bill both, is that I've seen Dallas in these standalone TV games beat wobbly teams. And the Colts are really wobbly. But you know the margins shrink in late December and January. I don't trust him situationally. That's where it worries me. But when Dallas rolls over a team, you look at them athletically. Did games last night change your mind? Where are you on Dallas today?
Well, yesterday on Fox NFL Sunday, I said, you know, Dallas will get on a roll for the next 3 weeks. They'll pad a bunch of statistics. And then we'll find out how good they are when they play Philadelphia on Christmas Eve, and then they go on the road to play the Titans and the Commanders. So we're not going to know anything more about Dallas until those last 3 weeks. But they're an extremely talented team. They'll beat the heck out of Houston this weekend, and then they'll beat Jacksonville the next week, and everybody will be raving about it. They may be the best team in the league, but we won't know until we see them against Philadelphia.
Some have suggested, myself included, they could use a little juice. OBJ is interesting. He wouldn't have to be the primary. Would you disrupt the room? Would you take a chance on that or no?
See, I don't think it would disrupt the room. I just wonder how healthy OBJ is. I just wonder when would he make a contribution. He might not make a contribution until maybe the last week or two of the season in the playoffs. But without question, he's a talented receiver, and he can help that room. Now it's just a matter of what are you going to pay, you know, to get him, and how big a commitment are you going to have with a guy that's coming off of a couple of knee surgeries, for a 2 or 3, 4 year commitment.
So, you know, I believe there's three quarterbacks in this league now that are just different: Mahomes, Burrow, and Josh Allen. Mahomes, the talent's obvious. I could see that. Allen, the size and arm is obvious. I could see that. Burrow's different. He doesn't blow you away in size, arm strength. There is something there, though, Jimmy. Did you spot it in college? Did you think this is what we were going to get as a pro?
Yeah, Norv Turner, you know, who was my quarterback coach with the Cowboys, and, of course, he was a head coach in this league for a long time, a couple of different places. He worked out a bunch of the quarterbacks when they came out the year that Burrow came out. And he called me. He said, he is the best that I've ever seen. He said, he's the most accurate. He's the most confident. He's athletic. He's the best I've ever seen coming out of college. And, you know, right now you got to go Burrow and Mahomes.
Yeah.
But the only thing, I would also throw Herbert in there with Josh Allen.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't blame you. A lot of people like Herbert. Finally. So, when you coach college, God, if you could get a bonus here and a bonus there and make $1 million, you were living to get a free car at a local dealership, right? Now these college coaches making $7, $8, $9 million or something. Would you leave Michigan if you were Harbaugh?
Well, when I went to the Cowboys, I made $400,000. So, that's what I was making at the University of Miami. I told you the story earlier, and I'll say it again. Like I told Butch Davis when Butch was at University of Miami, he had me kind of go in between, you know, with Ernie, of course, some of the people at Cleveland. And I said, Butch, I said, you can go to Cleveland and get you a sack full of money, and then get fired and go back to college. As far as Harbaugh, hey, really, he's got him a pretty good situation right there in Michigan. I know he's got to fight Ohio State, but you jump in the NFL, a lot of things can go wrong.
Yeah.
More things can go wrong than can go right. I promise you that.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, Jimmy, more so today, in your era, you could be a run first team and be really, really good. Now, you had Aikman, obviously. I mean, I love Vrabel and Derrick Henry, but I can't consider the Titans a Super Bowl team. I don't know if you can win. If you don't have a great quarterback, can you win?
You got to have a franchise quarterback. You know, the old days of the Baltimore Ravens having one of the greatest defenses ever step on the field and run the football and don't turn it over with Trent Dilfer. You know, those days are long gone. You've got to have a franchise quarterback, a quarterback that can make plays. It's all about the passing game now, Colin. You know, they have protected those receivers and the quarterback such now that the rules, it's all throwing the football. Now, yeah. you, it's nice to have a little running game, you know, for certain situations in the game. But points come in the passing game, and you've got to have a franchise quarterback to do that.
The book is Swagger. You see it behind Jimmy Johnson. It's available Amazon.com and stores now. As always, Jimmy, it's an absolute pleasure. Have great holidays and great seeing you on a Monday.
And thanks for Swagger. That'll be a great Christmas present for somebody.
It sure would. I've already about three quarters the way through it. It's fantastic stories from Jimmy Johnson, his football life. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, Colin.
Yeah, see, his takeaway is, so Purdy got drafted. He was the last guy drafted, Iowa State. And so Iowa State was pretty good with him. And we watched Iowa State play your Texas-Oklahoma games. And I watched them a little bit in college. And he's a gamer. And then he's been in the system now. He got drafted. He's been at camp. He's been in the preseason. He's been there. So you watched him yesterday come in off the bench. And he knew the offense. He ran the plays. He wasn't lost. He can move around. He's more mobile than Garoppolo. He's more athletic. Neither has a great arm. Let's say their arms are fairly similar. I do think Garoppolo's a more accurate thrower with a ton more experience. But the truth is, I mean, you're not going to win a Super Bowl with your third-string quarterback. But I don't know if I'd want to disrupt. I just don't know if I'd want to disrupt my franchise. I think I would go with Purdy and see if he can do it.
Can't you do both? Can't you keep him as the starter and bring on Baker Mayfield, who's going to be released by the Panthers, and say, you know what? Brock Purdy can get it done against Miami at home in perfect conditions. San Fran's going to have to go on the road, likely to Philly, Colin, or Minnesota. You think Brock Purdy's getting that done on the road in the postseason, especially Philadelphia? I don't. Now, I don't know if Baker can, but I would say Baker Mayfield more experience. I think I would probably trust him in the playoffs more than Brock Purdy.
Oh, yeah. I thought San Francisco with Garoppolo would go to Philly and beat him.
Yes.
I do not believe they'll go to Philly and beat him with Brock Purdy.
So their defense will keep him in the game.
Oh,
clearly,
absolutely.
Right? This is going to be like a low-scoring game, first to 13.
Oh, I mean, no, it'll be 2017. But Garoppolo would have made like two throws. That's the difference in the game.
So as a gambler, is there a team in the NFC that you would say, you know what? I think I'm going to put money on this team right now, because I don't think San Fran's going, right? We would agree. San Fran now probably not going to the Super Bowl. Is there a team you would identify and put some money on?
No.
Go ahead and say it. Dallas Cowboys, Colin. I know Dak has not looked great, but that defense, Colin, they basically have scored over 40 points in three of their last five games. You know who they have this week? Houston. 17-point favorites, I saw in one book. After that, it's Jacksonville. They're going to keep pouring it on. They're not stopping. Dallas is starting to get scary. They realize Tony Pollard is good.
Yeah, he is.
Buy stock.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hi, it's the Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball. All for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events... You'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports. And now newly minted first-round picks like number one overall Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and more. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of their first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards, or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out their most popular brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more, including Panini Instant Cards celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen, such as Draft Night Instance. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd Show.
Sunday on Fox, we got a huge doubleheader. First, NFC East rivals go head-to-head as Jalen Hurts leads the Eagles against Saquon Barkley and the Giants. Then, in America's Game of the Week, Tom Brady and the Bucks take on Christian McCaffrey and the Niners. Check local listings for the games in your area only on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
This holiday season, SimpliSafeColin.com, 40% off their security system, number one rated. There is no safe like SimpliSafe. I've got my reservations about the Dallas Cowboys. I don't trust their situational coaching in tight spots. I've seen them lose big games to well-coached teams, and I think Dak has a ceiling. I don't feel that way about Philadelphia. I'm really all in on the Eagles after they trounced the Titans. So I've watched them play two big games this year where they've been challenged. Minnesota rolled them, Titans rolled them. And the Titans don't get rolled a lot. Well-coached, physical football team. But yesterday, the Eagles couldn't run the ball. 24 carries, 67 yards. Jalen Hurts is like, I got it. Three touchdowns, 130 passer rating, 380 yards. That's the question. Can Jalen Hurts, if the run game slows down, carry you? The answer is yes. Jalen Hurts is Dak without the PR machine behind him. Dak has been a star since his first preseason game in Los Angeles. I can remember saying, slow down, it's the preseason. Day one, Dak was a star. Day one, we've doubted Jalen Hurts. He had a transfer from Alabama. He went in the second round, right? And we doubted too small, can't throw. Dak has a ceiling. Even now, when I watched Dak yesterday in that win, misses open throws, I know what Dak is and I know what he's not. I don't know what Jalen Hurts is not, because every time anybody questions him, he answers the bell. Since his high school days, he's never had the same play caller in back-to-back years until this year. It's the first time since high school he has the same play caller in back-to-back years. And he's made a massive jump. I don't see the ceiling so far. Maybe it develops. But you took the run game away from him yesterday. I saw this against Minnesota and Tennessee. He had over 300 yards in each. He had three touchdowns minimum in each. He completed 74% of his throws in each. On the biggest stages, when he's been asked to carry the team, he has exploded. He is Dak without the PR machine and love and the media attention. All we've done is elevate Dak. He's this, he's that. All we've done with Jalen Hurts is doubt him. He hasn't had continuity. He hasn't had the right coaches. He had to transfer in college. But I sat and watched that Tennessee game yesterday, and this kid is just 300 yards waiting to happen. His accuracy, big jumps. His production, big jumps. When he finally gets a little continuity in play calling, there. I was a doubter. I thought he was more of a runner than a thrower. But man, does he has just taken these Josh Allen major leaps in production, in accuracy. I'm all in on this team. I think it's Cincy, Kansas City, Buffalo, and Philadelphia. It took a while, but I am all in on the Eagles. J-Mac with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
You touched on this last hour with Joel Klatt, but Deion Sanders is the new coach at Colorado.
It's a weirdest fit.
Introduced over the weekend, smiling. He had his Coach Prime as his placard. He wants to give the team an opportunity to compete. The video of him talking to the players, basically saying, I'm bringing in my guys. Colorado had a terrible roster. I think they won one game last season. Deion went 27-5 at Jackson State. Two consecutive titles in the SWAC, Southwestern Athletic Conference. Rumor has it he's going to bring his kid to play quarterback, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But the key is this transfer portal could transform pretty quickly Colorado into a winner.
Yeah, I mean, this is really what's cool about college football now, is that one of the things you and I and everybody has loved about the NFL, between the draft, trades, and free agency, I saw Bill Parcells take a 1-15 Dolphins team, and they had 11 wins. He was the GM. He shifted 40% of his roster. You could never do that in college, right? You bring in the high school kids, three or four ready to play. It's all different now. If you watch the portal this morning, I mean, you can literally rebuild your entire roster in an offseason. And instead of, like, in college getting high school kids who you're not sure if they're ready, you just go get Oklahoma's right tackle, he transferred. Yeah. So the star appeal of Deion should bring in massive portal talent. I mean, it's an odd fit. It's like an agnostic hippie town that smells like cannabis 24/7. And here comes prime time, preaching and the values and he's a Southern coach moving to the Rocky Mountains, and you're like, is this going to work? But he's a star, and the transfer portal is built for Deion Sanders. Because I'll tell you this, he can sell.
Of course,
he can sell Deion. He can sell his vision. My guess is they'll land 10 to 12 really solid starters very quickly in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, the word on the street is he had wanted Auburn to consider him
for
their job, and Auburn was like, no, we're not touching Deion, and he felt that was a slight.
Yeah.
So he had Colorado. He was talking to them instantly. I'm going to Colorado. I'm going to show these guys what I can do. Now, listen, Pac-12, I think we agree, second best conference in America this year.
And
ahead of the Big Ten. Big Ten's very good.
I'll say this. The Pac-12 coaching, I like it better than the SEC coaching. I think the SEC has better players. But, I mean, Whittingham, Jonathan Smith, Chip Kelly, Lincoln Riley,
Leach.
Jed Fish and Aaron Leach, the guy up at Washington. I mean, they're
– Yes, Lenny,
I mean, they have got some of the smartest young offensive coaches in college football or in the Pac-12. So Deion's not – he's not entering the Pac-12 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Where USC was a dog and Arizona was a dog and Washington wasn't very good. Like, the conference now is way more competitive.
All right, next up, it's finally official. The Panthers have announced that they have released Baker Mayfield. He leaves Carolina. He just played in 7 games. He went 1-5 as a starter. This is an interesting note here. The decision to move on was reportedly mutual after Baker asked to be released. So Baker sees Jimmy Garoppolo go down.
Yeah.
Baker loves to bet on himself, right? Do you think he's a good fit in that Shanahan offense?
I don't. I think I'd roll it with Brock Purdy.
But you're going to need a backup to Purdy. And now the guy that I heard they had was Jacob Eason, he was an indie big arm kid from Washington.
He's very
I don't see how he fits that offense.
Slow-footed. I think I'd have lunch over it and talk about it. Baker doesn't tend to be the backup. That's not really his personality.
Yeah, but he's going into a team with a bunch of alphas. You think Baker's not going to be chirping on a team with Deebo Samuel and that entire defense? I think he's going to quickly know his role. He's probably been humbled a little bit, right? I mean, couldn't do anything in Carolina, Colin. What's the downside if San Fran goes after him? Like, give me some one negative.
Oh, I just think the room's been established. Baker's a little snarky and squirrely. It's like saying, what could go wrong when Jay Cutler went to Miami? And it went wrong in like 6 days. Like, he's Baker has a way of not being able to get out of his own way. And by the way, let me throw this at you. The NFC outside of Philadelphia and maybe Dallas.
Minnesota's 10-2, by the way, just for what it's worth.
But God,
I know, I'm aware. I just had to put that out.
But I mean, San Francisco has arguably the best coach in the conference and easily the best defense and excellent special teams.
And probably the best skill position players.
And a really good run game. They would open up at home with the Giants, W.
Right.
Depending on the schedule, we'd go to Minnesota. Are you telling me Brock Purdy could not go to Minnesota with that defense and move the ball?
Yeah, he probably could. Mike White just looked good against this team. Mac Jones looked
Jones looked great against Minnesota. So it's like, I think they've got the brain power and coaching in San Francisco. The defense, the special teams, the run game. Brock Purdy's more athletic. I think I would give it a run. Listen, if Trey Lance can complete 62% of his throws with this offense.
That's a big ask.
I know. But he's built for this.
Okay, how about this? Dallas is going to go out this week, and everybody thinks, grab Odell Beckham, okay?
Yeah.
At some point, San Fran's got to be like, listen, we are not bailing on the season. We're not going to let it go with Mr. Irrelevant.
But OBJ, I'll take him over Baker.
Of course, yeah, because he doesn't have to do much. Baker, I know the Shanahan system is tough, Colin, but this is a guy who made Matt Ryan turn into an MVP in Atlanta. Like, Matt Ryan was good. Kyle Shanahan made him a superstar in Atlanta. They went to the Super Bowl.
Again, I would go to lunch and discuss it. I don't know if I could pull the trigger.
Wow.
I don't know.
All right, finally, let's wrap up with, this guy played a game. Deshaun Watson, I forgot about it.
First
time playing football in 2 years. I think the number was 700 days. Made the start for the Browns against Houston. These highlights are very low lights. I was on the Browns yesterday. When he threw that pick six in the end zone, where's Jacoby Brissett? Can we warm him up? Like,
Deshaun was never a beautiful thrower of the football. Like, that was never his thing. He was athletic. He could make plays. But he doesn't throw a ball like Burrow or like right now, Herbert or Jalen.
Mike White, you know.
No, I mean, that's not his thing. So when you take a guy who's not a beautiful thrower of the football and you give him all that time off, he looks like that.
Yeah, it was not pretty. But the Browns defense and special teams got the job done.
Yeah.
27-14 victory. Deshaun Watson said he felt every single one of those 700 days since he last played. And Colin, I just have to ask you, when you look at Watson struggling, is this going to take a little longer than we thought for him to get up to speed in Cleveland?
This team is irrelevant now. Like that, it's an off season. Listen, this thing makes it just, nobody loves this. I think people in Cleveland, I mean, except for the diehard that doesn't care about anything other than his team winning, the whole situation's gross. It's off-putting to the league. It's just, there's nothing I like about it. I mean, I do get, this is pro sports. I've seen horrible actors Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, I just watched the movie 2 weeks ago, She Said, at the theater about Harvey Weinstein. And you're just repulsed the whole time you're watching it. When it comes to entertainment, we make these decisions. We separate art from artist. It's just the whole Browns organization to me just feels unlikable, unwatchable. To me, it's just gross.
So Browns-Bengals, I believe, is the matchup this week, Colin. Very interesting. Cincinnati, some would say, won the Super Bowl yesterday against the Kansas City. They own Andy Reid. I was not aware of that. 3-0 Burrow in this calendar year, I think it is. The playoff game, and then they won in
Cincinnati.
Deshaun Watson this week? You bet the Browns?
No, not. J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live News.
Mark Sanchez, last hour.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This is Steve Covino.
And Rich Davis.
And together, we are Covino and Rich.
Covino and Rich.
Thanks, buddy. That's right, Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio's newest
hit show. Heard weekdays from 5 to 7 Eastern, 2 to 4 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Every Covino and Rich show is available as a podcast. Just search Covino and Rich wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe.
I'm such a rockin' dude.
The show features our unique take on sports, injected with some fun, humor, and relatability.
Listen to Covino and Rich 5 days a week on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Covino and Rich, give me a hell yeah!
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, it's the Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered every step of the way with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out. As the NBA postseason winds down, it's fantastic. Super easy to get started with DraftKings. If you're a first-timer, really easy. Try betting on something like a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook's app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple, really. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports. And now newly minted first-round picks like number one overall Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and more. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of their first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out their most popular brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more, including Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen, such as Draft Night Instance. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd Show.
Listen, we argue during March Madness over the 67th and 68th teams to get in. So you know in college football, with only four teams to get in, it's going to be an annual tradition that we argue who should get in. In the end, there's always a team that gets into the college football playoff that doesn't recruit at like a national level. A few years ago, Washington got in. This year, TCU gets in. Last year, it was Cincinnati, where they're not a top 10 recruiting power, but their story is good. They've got a good coach, maybe a quarterback. The schedule works, and they lose maybe one game close, and we put them in. It makes everybody feel good. That team never wins the national championship. That team is rarely competitive in their first game. TCU's going to get three, Ohio State's four. Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, Alabama would all be favored over TCU and would probably, I think Michigan will probably, if you look at the matchups, I was looking over it last night watching the Cowboys-Colts game, Michigan probably ends up controlling the clock and kind of burying them at the end. But I got no problem with TCU being in. They're one play away from being undefeated. They've got a quarterback and a coach who know their way around the sport, so I like it. The big issue this year was rare. It was a big dog trying to sneak in. Do you take Ohio State or do you take Alabama? Now, I will say, I think Ohio State, because they were humiliated in their last home game of the year by Michigan, will give a great effort against Georgia. The line came in smaller than people predict. It's a recruiting power. They'll have the better quarterback. They'll have the best skill player at wide receiver. And Ohio State has been told they're soft, they're weak, they're finesse. I think they'll play their butt off against Georgia. I think they'll come in loose as underdogs and have their best game plan of the year. They have NFL players everywhere. I don't know if they can beat Georgia, but I think Ohio State is going to play a great game against Georgia. It's house money. When you give kids 6 and 7 weeks in coaches, and a lot of those Buckeye coaches are now coaching for their careers and their jobs, I think Ohio State is more than capable of standing up to Georgia and giving them a very competitive game. So Alabama, the team I would have voted in, didn't get in. I would vote in Alabama because I believe they're better than everybody except Georgia and maybe Michigan. I think they have a lot of NFLers. They have a great coach. You give Saban a couple of months, they have a great game plan. And here was Nick on Fox trying to promote his Bama team into the playoff.
I think the whole goal is to get the best teams in. And what I would say to the committee or anyone else is if we played any of these teams that are on the edge or getting in, would we be the underdog or would we be the favorite? And I think if you can answer that question and the goal is to get the best teams in, then you would say they belong in there. You know, you show vulnerability when you get beat badly at the end of the season. Our team has played better at the end of the season. So that's kind of my reasoning.
He's got the Nick Saban sly smile. One of the comments he said is the best teams are going to get in. Well, generally, although I don't have a problem with it, Vegas probably shouldn't decide who the best teams are. A committee does. You know, Alabama was also favored in the games they lost. They were favored by over a touchdown against LSU and lost. So it's not a great Alabama team. It is a team with a great quarterback, a great rush end, and a great coach. But it's actually, I think, one of the more average Alabama teams in the last 10 years. I'm not losing any sleep over it. Joel Klatt came on earlier today and said, here's why Alabama should not have gotten in.
Your best losses can't be your argument in this sport. It's got to be about who you win. And that really was what it boiled down to. And that's what Nick Saban said at halftime. I know I sounded dismissive in the first half when I said, hey, Saban's coming on. I guess he's going to lobby and good for him. That's what he should do. My disdain wasn't for him or Alabama. It was for the model, the system that we're in, that we have to lobby for spots. The argument for the other two is very easy, at least in my estimation. Ohio State was the most dominant and balanced team in the country for 11 weeks. It's just a better resume than Alabama, and TCU, quite frankly, has a much better resume. This was always going to be the four-team playoff, and it was going to be the order.
You know, and here's the thing. The SEC is the best conference. It's the hardest conference with the most pro players. But this is why we need a 12-team playoff. Because in a 12-team playoff, Alabama would argue, and they'd probably be like, you know, a 5 or a 6. The new playoff system is going to allow for two things that we always argue about. The team like Alabama or Ohio State from a great conference and a really good team that has a couple of losses, they'll now get in. And the nice story, the Cincinnati, the TCU that doesn't really recruit at a national level, they'll get in. And what makes March Madness so special is you get both of those. Generally in college football, you have to make a choice. Either the great story gets in Cincinnati or the great big top five recruiting program, Alabama, that's got a couple of tough road losses. From this point forward, you know, both will get in. Listen, USC, if they took care of business, would have ended all this. They get in. Tennessee lost their star quarterback. They beat Alabama. They would have probably gotten in. It didn't happen. You know, the one thing I'll say about college football is the season is a lot longer than we think. You know, the team that wins the national championship, what will they play? Like 15, Michigan 14, 15 games? That's a long season for college kids. Very few of them getting paid. To me, college football, now that the playoff is coming in 2 years and we've cleaned up the back end of the sport where there'll be more opportunities, that's good. I wish we'd start cleaning up the early part of the schedule because I love the sport. Get rid of these like Citadel and Panera Bread and all these roast beef tech, out-of-conference games that nobody watches, fans have to pay for, they're awful. But I do think going forward, the playoffs going to allow for the Bama with two losses to get in, and the kind of huggable, put your arm around them, you know, 12-0 non-Power 5 team, one or two of those get in as well, and I think it's great for the sport. The other thing, I thought the strangest story of the weekend, it's fascinating to me, is primetime Deion Sanders to Colorado. And I don't think this would have been a good move 3 or 4 years ago. But with the transfer portal, I think it's a fascinating move. He's an odd fit. It is an agnostic town, the cannabis center of the universe, far left, doesn't care about football, no money in athletics. When it came up that he was up for Auburn, Cincinnati, and Colorado, I'm like, oh, he's a perfect fit at Auburn and a perfect fit at Cincinnati. He's a weird fit at Colorado. Really weird. But with the transfer portal, it's fascinating. I'm looking at my phone during the break. It's changed everything. Really good players are looking for a head start, a new fit, a new start, and I think Deion Sanders has the opportunity to make Colorado really interesting really quickly. The Pac-12 is now better than it's been in maybe a decade. There's a lot of good coaches and fascinating stories and teams, but we're seeing more players get into coaching and do a good job. 6 or 7 years ago, I would have said, this is weird. It won't work. I don't know if it'll work. I think it may work. I don't know the answer. He went to Jackson State, and in an hour, they were way better. He's bringing his son. His son's a great player. He's quarterback. So that was one of the more interesting stories. My initial reaction was weird fit. And I just kept thinking about it and thinking about it. I'm sitting there last night writing some notes, watching the Cowboys and Colts, and I'm like, transfer portal. He's got star power. Colorado's invisible. He'll bring in money. They don't have any. He could literally be a perfect fit. This thing could be magic. I don't know. Carl Durrell was there. He's got no big personality, no vibe. Colorado needs that. They just don't spend money NIL. They don't have an athletic department that's well-funded. This guy can generate interest, and I think it's going to potentially be fascinating. Well, I think it will be fascinating whether it fails or works. But, the world's changing constantly. And, in the NBA, I draft guys now that I would have never considered years ago simply because they can shoot. That's all they can do. They can shoot. And I think star coaches with star appeal, I think primetime may work. I'm here for it, though. Do you think it's going to work?
When USC and UCLA leave, yes, he will thrive. No, it's going to be an uphill climb. But the schedule, I just looked at it, very favorable next year.
Is it?
They get USC at home, and Boulder's going to be rocking, probably.
Listen,
right?
Boulder's always rocking.
I've never been. Good city?
It is the best party school in the conference. It's one of the more beautiful.
Wait a minute. Better than Arizona State in Arizona?
Well,
come on now, Cal.
I'm telling you, Colorado is a lot of fun. Nobody goes to Colorado and says after 4 years, I had no fun.
Hey, check your phone. I think your daughter who went to ASU is texting you. What the hell are you talking about, Dad? No. Colorado, the number one party school?
Well, it's different. It's not as liquid.
Oh, okay.
It's not as liquid in Boulder. it's a beautiful part of the country. And there's no question if Deion can get kids to make a visit, it's stunning. Like, you go there, it's a great campus, great town, great school.
Terrible weather?
No, the weather's fine. Rocky Mountain weather is amazing.
Rocky Mountain high.
Exactly. That's Boulder. Hour 3, Mark Sanchez, it's the Herd.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right
with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.